Hello there, everyone. Richard Tubb here with episode 9 of Tubb Talk, the podcast for IT consultants, and a really special interview today with Mark Gadsden. Mark is a fascinating guy. He was introduced to me by a mutual friend, Philip Morgan, who some of you might recall we interviewed in episode 3 of the podcast, Philip from the network group there. Mark lives in Andorra, a beautiful part of the world, a principality of France and near to Spain. And Mark runs his business there and runs it remotely. The offices are actually based in London, and he's got technical support staff and other technical staff based in Canada. So for anybody who's a fan of Tim Ferriss and the 4-Hour Work Week, you'll be interested in what Mark and I talk about in the interview here. We talk about travel caching, the challenges of managing a team remotely, and some best practices for getting that done and being successful with it. Mark and I also talk about Zimbra, a hosting platform there, which is going to be a fantastic alternative to the traditional platforms that many managed service providers use. I'll be honest, I didn't know a great deal about Zimbra going into this, but Mark really opened my eyes, and I think you can tell from our interview how impressed I was with the Zimbra solution. So without further ado, here's my interview with Mark Gadsden.
Hi everyone, Richard Tubb here, and I'm joined today by Mark Gadsden. How are you doing, Mark?
Yeah, very good. Thanks, Richard. Nice good. To be here. Thank you very good. Much.
So, you are the owner of Intuition, a London-based hosting company. Tell me a little bit more about Intuition.
Yeah, so yeah, I'm one of the directors of Intuition Networks. We're a long-time provider of email, both email security and email collaboration. Zimbra is our key product. Our service is based on Zimbra. We chose Zimbra in 2006. We were looking around for an alternative to our POP3 infrastructure that we had quite a few POP3 mailboxes. And we didn't want to go down the Exchange route because we, at that time, Microsoft Exchange was a difficult product to manage at scale. And we found Zimbra. It was a new solution built by a bunch of really clever engineers in Silicon Valley. And pretty quickly, it was sort of grew quite fast. We became one of the early partners in 2006. And we started hosting it, built a platform in our London data center. And Zimbra was sold to Yahoo. Yahoo took it off the scale in terms of numbers of users, and it powered the Yahoo mail service for quite a while, quite a long time. And then it was bought by VMware. VMware took it into the corporate space. All the time, we're still partners of each entity, and over the years, we've now become the sort of one of the go-to partners in the UK and Europe for Zimbra when they've got somebody that wants to do something with Zimbra on a hosting basis. So we tend to get involved in a lot of projects that are white label and people that want to host a solution. So we've got customers from small IT companies that we've been here talking to today, and we've got really large sort of more service provider type people who don't want the cost of and hassle of running their own infrastructure. So we do that on a white label basis for them. So that's really what we're doing in a nutshell.
So I'm fascinated by Zimbra. So you give me a demonstration of the product and blown away by just how simple it is, you know, and the little or no administrative overheads to it. I guess Office 365 is the big gorilla in the market.
Sure is,
yeah. Exchange before that. Lots of IT companies, people watching this video, are going to be very, very familiar with Office 365 and Hosted Exchange. What does Zimbra offer that maybe Exchange doesn't? So what about feature compatibility? Talk a little bit more about that, and also maybe things that Zimbra does that Exchange doesn't do whatsoever.
Yeah, so I mean, it's a question that you get a lot, and I think people think if it's not Exchange, it's going to be some sort of third-party, third-rate solution. So I think that, you know, the first thing is that when you give someone a demonstration and explain to them that, you know, there's your Outlook running with Zimbra at the back end, I didn't realize I thought that was Exchange, because you've got pretty much feature parity. You know, Zimbra is an Exchange server. It's a completely different solution. It's not trying to be Exchange server. Zimbra set out to redefine the way that email works, we consume email, in 2006 with one of the very first Ajax front ends. So before HTML5 was around, before you could really do much in a website, Zimbra's interface was very rich, and you could do everything, you could drag and drop, move things around. And that was at a time when Outlook Web Access was pretty ropey. It wasn't a nice solution to use. So Zimbra came along and said, you know, you don't need a client. You can use the webmail. as your primary client. And certainly a lot of people do that. We've got some really big installations just doing webmail only. So Gmail type solution.
Yeah.
But the point is, most businesses, I think, still really want to integrate with Outlook and with their iPhones and their Android phones, etc., and all of that supported out of the box. Some of the things that Zimbra can do that Exchange can't, I mean, you know, it's a different solution. It looks different. It works differently. The sharing's very straightforward. There's an inbuilt document management solution called the Briefcase, which allows you to upload and download documents. It's a bit like a SharePoint portal, I suppose, a basic SharePoint portal, but it's really simple, and it's built in as part of Zimbra. You can share that amongst a group of a group of users, or you can departments or company wide, etc., depending on how sophisticated you want to make the sharing permissions. And it's very easy then to share files, and there's versioning, so you can see whether if I upload a file, you can see that it's been changed by me, which version, etc., and you can revert to different versions. So that's a feature that's been quite interesting, and something that's coming very soon is Zimbra. I'm probably jumping ahead now, Richard.
No, please do, because the next question I was going to ask you is about this feature that's upcoming. Collaboration.
The sync and share solution is Zimbra's new. I guess extension of the Briefcase, which gives you Dropbox-like features inside your private installation of Zimbra. So you can still share with external users, but the data is controlled within your installation. So if you're on our cloud's hosted in the UK, so the data will stay in the UK. If you've got your own installation of Zimbra, because you can buy a license for Zimbra and you can install it in your office, which, believe it or not, people are still interested in doing. And particularly in industries where that sort of thing matters, you can share your documents and know that control isn't going outside the organisation, which I think is a big concern for the other the consumer based file sharing solutions. And then there's various other things coming down the line. Zimbra are making great strides with the architecture, and they're making it really easy for us as service providers to provide an always on solution and to scale it out to massive scales. One of their biggest partners in the US has got over 40 million mailboxes on one installation. So, that gives them some experience to do some clever stuff. Yeah. That's where...
And it's not just email, is it? So we've already talked about the Briefcase and the Dropbox-like facilities, but of course one of the questions that is immediately going to come up is around calendaring. So talk me through the calendaring features. Is it comparable to Exchange?
I really enjoy using the calendar, and I've really found it's improved productivity because, for instance, one of the nice features, if you're in the web client, you can drag an email onto your mini calendar, and it instantly creates an appointment, and it includes you in the meeting invite. It puts the body of the email into the details of the meeting. And there's also things called... So before I jump into Zimlets, there's things about the calendar that make it really easy. There's a fisheye view, so when you're looking at your month, you can click on the day, and it expands to show you the full day. So just some really nice usability of the calendar. You can share everything in Zimbra. So if I wanted to share a work holidays calendar, I can set that up. And just like with Exchange, you can have it auto-accepting... shared resource, you can have it auto-accepting meeting requests or deferring the meeting request to an administrator. It's terribly sophisticated. It's got what you'd expect from a grown-up collaboration solution.
Yeah.
It isn't third rate in any stretch of the imagination.
Definitely not. And from everything I've seen of it as well, it looks like I was blown away by the demonstration
Great.
You gave.
Thanks.
And how well it came across, the low admin sort of overheads to it as well. Which begs the question: is Zimbra one of the industry's sort of best kept secrets? Why aren't more IT companies offering it? Because it's clearly an enterprise-ready solution.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think it is a best-kept secret. It is a great, solid solution, and I think Zimbra are addressing that with the new that they recently bought out as a management buyout from VMware, and they've created their own company. So they also merged with a social media enterprise social media provider. And so there's some integration of social media aspects of enterprise into Zimbra, and that's definitely we all know that email is changing from a standard, I send you an email, you reply, to more of a conversational-based thing with IM and all of that.
So having the conversation, forgive me for interrupting, having the conversation with a number of resellers, we're in Telford for the network group event today, Mark and myself, and having the conversation saying, blowing the minds of some of the resellers saying, well, you realise younger people don't use email.
Right.
They use instant messaging,
exactly.
they use Twitter and things like that. So
certainly long-term, Rob Howard, who's the CTO of the whole of Zimbra, he came from the social media entity, and he's taken over control of product development and so on. He's a really smart guy, and he's got some really great ideas about how to move forward the whole email the workflow and how to really improve that. So quite excited to know what's going to come, and I think that's where things are going to really start to branch out from. You know, Zimbra's a great base product now, and you know we've got feature parity with Exchange in many areas, but it'd be quite nice to move away from the conversation about Exchange, because actually Zimbra in its own right can offer some real value, and I think that's going to start to become apparent soon. But coming back to your earlier point about, you know, what is it that, why should IT companies be selling Zimbra, and you know, kind of in a way swimming uphill, because obviously clients are demanding 365, and I do get that, but I think one of our colleagues in the meeting earlier on brought up a point about, you know, the successful IT resellers are people that really build relationships with their clients, and that really have a solid support ethos, and that they really look after their clients and provide a great service. And I think that if you've got a relationship with a client, why give your client to Microsoft or to Google or to any other of the big players? Because, you know, you can't control what they're going to do. And, you know, in our model, the way we sell our services, we sell to you as the reseller, and the reseller sells on to their client. We don't know anything about your client. You know, it's not our interest. Our interest is in providing a great email service and, you know, a utility that you can go off and sell on. So I think that it's building value in your business is the key thing, and I think that's what IT resellers need to think about, is, you know, what is the long term value of my business, and you know, what am I doing, and you know, sometimes it's harder to do things that aren't what everyone else is doing, but long term it pays off, and I guess you have to decide, do I want to just be selling what everybody else is selling, or do I want to differentiate a little bit and actually, you know, build something of real value, and you know. It takes a long time to build value, but it's worth it in the long run. So
continuously surprises me, I guess a bit of a soapbox moment for me, but when Microsoft's small business server was retired by Microsoft, there was people up in arms. It was like, oh, you're removing my business. You're taking away my business. And of course, the reality is there was lots and lots of alternatives to Microsoft's small business server. And I think it's probably the same for hosted email, for Exchange and things like that. There's so many good alternative options out there. So I'm flabbergasted that more IT companies aren't investigating solutions like Zimbra and seeing how they can sort of package it up, wrap their own value around it and sell it to clients as well. Make themselves a little bit different from everyone else in the industry.
I mean, I think it's challenging because, you know, Microsoft have got a massive marketing machine and they do a really great job. And, you know, their pricing's very, very aggressive. And I think, but, you know, you've talked, I've read your blog posts about, you know, increasing your prices, not decreasing your prices, to compete in a marketplace. And I think there's a limit to what you know, how cavalier you can get with pricing. You know, you need to be fairly realistic. But I think it comes back to this: what value are you offering? If you're offering great value and a great service, then you know, IT should be in the background, and you know, it should just function for the people that want to use it. We shouldn't be worrying about what the technology is. Does it serve a purpose and does it do the job? If it does the job for the customer, then the reseller can look at, well, how does it fit for my business? You know, does it give me a long-term future, or am I giving my customers to somebody else?
So with all that said, let's talk about pricing a little bit. So lots of people who are watching this video are going to be working in the SMB space,
right,
where clients are typically cost conscious,
yep,
or price sensitive. So how does Zimbra match up in terms of cost, in broad figures, in sort of in round figures, against Exchange and the alternatives?
Yeah, well, I think really, really competitively. I mean, we've worked hard with Zimbra to create some really competitive packages in the market, and I think we're a channel only player, so we don't give out pricing to you know, retail pricing, etc. And our partners set the prices that they think are appropriate for their market, and they tend to bundle in other services and support, etc. So you know, that's how that works. But you know, definitely highly competitive, and you know, there's definitely a cost saving there over a 365, for instance, and we've got various packages starting from, you know, a very sort of basic package, POP3, to allow, you know, a lot of our partners we find have got, you know, a couple of hundred, 300 POP3 accounts that are hosted with, you know, 1&1 or Fasthosts or something. Clients are saying, you know, I need better services. I need to read my email on my iPhone. I want it to sync. You know, I want to be able to send an email on my iPhone and see it in my Outlook on my desk. You know, classic thing. And believe it or not, people still haven't got that functionality. And so we provide a basic package that allows our partner to migrate in, give them the same POP3 service, and then it's just clicking a button to upgrade them to the higher end packages, which makes more margin for the reseller, but it also saves their headache of having to run the POP3 service, which a lot of these hosting packages can be a bit unreliable and you know, cause problems. So
And talking about reliability, where is tell me a bit about the back end, your data center is, where the data's stored, because lots of people are going to be very interested to see where the data is stored. So what's your back end look like?
Yeah, okay. Easy now, Richard.
In the sense that it was meant.
Yeah, so we've got two data centres, one in Manchester and one in London. London's our primary data centre. And we've got our own, everything's hosted on our own equipment. We're not buying in, Amazon EC2 instances or something like that. This is all done properly. We use Dell Kit, so we've got multiple Dell servers running virtual infrastructure. Obviously, we've got a VM infrastructure. In fact, we've been doing that since the dawn of virtualization, and it's helped us achieve a lot of economies of scale and power saving and so on, make us much more green. But yeah, we've got multiple servers, and Zimbra is set up in such a way that we've got multiple servers across the platform, so we've got a highly reliable hosting platform, data storage, etc. And we're pretty careful about data backups, because, you know, it's the lifeblood. Email's the lifeblood of the organisation, and I think we say for every 1 gig of data stored in a mailbox, we're actually storing 8 gig in total in terms of replication. So every Zimbra server has a partner. Where all the data is replicated across to that partner server, and then we also back up that data in our own data center. We encrypt it and we send it out of the data center encrypted. So, you know, we're storing multiple blobs of data, and we're able to restore up to 30 days mailboxes. And there's a self-restore feature in Zimbra, which is really nice. So you can, you know, users can recover from, even after they've deleted from the trash folder. They can still recover. And one of the common things they do is they right-click their inbox and go, empty inbox, you know, and it just, all their mails disappear, but they can get those back. And also, because of our backup infrastructure, we can do that. And again, I think that's one of the things that differentiates us. You know, you can get on the phone to us or email us, and we'll respond and we'll do something. And, you know, we had a reseller panicking the other day because one of their major clients had deleted a couple of mailboxes by mistake. In fact, it was a bit more ominous than that. Someone had left and deleted some mailboxes, and we were able to recover the mailboxes really quickly for them, and it was all sorted, no dramas. Mm-hmm. And I think that some of the bigger providers are, you know, you don't necessarily get that level of service. It's one of our differentiators.
Well, it's a really interesting point, actually, isn't it? Especially when you'd look at the lower end of the market, where people are shopping basically on cost, they don't factor in, I guess, what you call the total cost of ownership.
Right.
Historically, you don't factor in, if something goes wrong, is this going to come back and bite me in the bum? Am I going to be able to get my data out? So reassuring to know that, you know, you've got those facilities in place.
And I mean, we've been running this since 2006, and we do little things like we host all of our Zimbra primary volumes on. We keep them under a terabyte in size, and we just have multiple versions. It means that if we need to restart a mailbox server and there's a disk integrity check, which if you get forced to run a disk integrity check, you've got to run the disk integrity check, otherwise you're playing with fire. And, you know, if you've got multiple terabyte volumes, those can take some hours to scan, and even, you know, some days in certain cases. So little things like that, experience has taught us to just sort of be cautious, and we're very cautious. And you know, we test new upgrades extensively, and we've got a great relationship with Zimbra. We have a bi-monthly call with the VP of product development and support, and he feeds back to us anything that's going on, and we feed back up to him. So we've got a great two-way relationship, and we always know what's going on before we do any major upgrades and so on.
So Zimbra, it's comparable to Exchange, feature comparable. In fact, it's got some features that Exchange doesn't have. It's just as reliable. It's cheaper.
Yep. So why aren't you doing it? Yeah. Exactly, Richard. Thanks for the sales pitch. Yeah.
Well, let's switch gears a minute from Zimbra then, because one of the other areas of intuition is WordPress hosting.
Exactly.
My blog is run on WordPress. I run another couple of sites on WordPress. Tell us about the WordPress hosting aspect of the intuition business.
Yeah. So we're really excited about WordPress. Actually, we we've been doing WordPress hosting probably like every other person in the country, a hosting company. We host WordPress sites, and we've our development team we power all our own stuff with WordPress, our own public facing websites, etc. And we came across a company in the startup in Canada. And to cut a long story short, we've done a really interesting partnership with them, and we've formed a new business to run WordPress hosting from, called EasyPress. And the team from EasyPress in Canada and us have come together. So they've already got two hosting sites in Canada and America. We've built a brand new hosting facility in our data center in Manchester. And we've got replication into London. So we've got a really solid WordPress platform. And everything's automated, so we can scale up very quickly if we need to add more WordPress servers, etc. We've built a full managed WordPress solution. So you've got caching layer, you've got content delivery networks, you've got security, you've got the ability to lock the site down. It's just a single button click. You can basically change all the permissions to really improve the security. I think most importantly, it's backed up by amazing support. And I think you've got some experience of migrating to us.
I'll happily give a testimonial at this stage.
So I wasn't pushing you into giving a testimonial, but
So I've moved a couple of my WordPress websites across and moved from a very well-known US hosting company.
Right.
For the volumes of data or the volumes of visitors that I get. Found the entire process fantastic, no downtime, everything went swimmingly. And Victor and the team in Canada, you've got some real stars there because they're real WordPress experts, they know what they're talking about.
Exactly.
I think the proof of the pudding for me is in, I was doing before and after tests.
Yep.
I like to measure everything and see the difference. So previously my website was loading in around 5 seconds, which feels like an eternity in the modern age. And it's actually down to just over 1 second at the moment.
Right.
And I know you and me and Victor have talked about it as well, and there's probably some tweaking to be done there to get it down. So absolutely no change in code. The site moved across as it was, and it sort of shaved the best part of 4 seconds off. So, I'm a convert already.
Yeah, great. And I mean, that's great, great anecdotal experience because that's what we've found as well with our own sites. They improved exponentially, and other people have said, "God, the speed's amazing." And in fact, without even asking, I was chatting to someone the other day. They'd moved their sites across, and they said, "God, the admin section's so fast. Just click, click, click." And
that's the real thing. I noticed the admin section. Flies by. So I tend, I'm not a WordPress guru by any means, but I tend to spend a lot of time in the admin section, and it just absolutely flies.
Makes a big difference, doesn't it?
It does.
Well, we've invested a lot of money in hardware, and Victor and the team have really, Victor's a WordPress guru. He's been using WordPress for years, and he's created the ultimate, in his mind, the ultimate WordPress stack, if you like, because it's not just a case of installing WordPress and PHP, etc. There's all sorts of things that go on in the background to make it really fast. And I think combined with our experience of running hosting platforms and networking and so on, we've got a really great data center set up in Manchester, fantastic networking, with really good bandwidth and so on. So we've got. We've got a really solid proposition, I think, and really looking forward to taking it out there and getting on a lot of clients and seeing if we make a success out of it. So,
good. Yeah. Well, I'm going to follow that story with interest, and I've got no doubt you're going to be successful
Thanks.
With that side of things. Now, again, I want to change gears just a little bit. So we've mentioned the offices in London. We've mentioned the data center in Manchester, the support team in Canada.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be...
Sorry, the WordPress guys in Canada, and mixed in with the guys in the UK as well.
Yeah.
Just before we freak anyone out.
and then, on top of all that, I think people will find it very interesting that you're located, as one of the directors of the business, located out of Andorra, which you call home. I'm intrigued to hear how you help to manage the team, this distributed team across the world. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, they manage themselves. our team goes back. Matt, who's in charge of our platform, he's worked with me since pretty much came out of university. So I don't know, I'm guessing 14 years or something. We started off in a small office in Sussex, and we had a data center under the stairs. So we built a rack with some Dell computers running on a 512 kilobit lease line, when lease lines were all the rage. And that's how we started hosting. And that's where we had a development side of the business as well. So we've always had development and hosting, and we ended up majoring on hosting, and that's where we ended up coming into Zimbra partnership and so on. But so Matt and our head of development, Colin, both have worked for the company for a long time. And the rest of the gang are all people that have been around for a long time, and they're known, and I think share the same values about what we want. We want to build a solid company, and so the team, take responsibility for what they're doing, so we don't need to see each other regularly, and we communicate via phone. We've got a great voice over IP phone system that means that we can keep a line open for no cost, and that works really well. So we can, if we're working on a project together, we can just keep the line open. We've got Skype, obviously. Although I've noticed that there isn't a lot of video conferencing going on in a technical company, whereas no one's particularly keen on video. We use Basecamp project management fairly extensively, and we're just looking to improve that with some sort of slightly more hardcore project management solutions, probably something like Pivotal Tracker or one of the one of the tools from Altasin. I can't think of the name. Gyro, I think it is, isn't it? We're just looking around right now for some slightly more grown-up, agile-based project management solutions. But we do, I think email probably, instant message, and Basecamp is the kind of cornerstone of how we run the business these days. And we have regular meetings, just like you would in a normal company. But they tend to be a bit more focused because, you're not worrying about getting cups of tea and messing about. You're just, on the phone, get the meeting done with and pretty focused. And the great thing about Andorra is it's got fantastic communications. We've got 100 meg fibre to the door in every house, which is...
I guess we should say, where is Andorra at this point for those people who don't know?
So right.
I'm scratching my head initially. I've got a rough idea, but perhaps...
So Andorra sits between France and Spain. So it's in the Pyrenees, and it's a place of about 70,000 people, and a very small principality run by the co-princes of France and Spain. But it's an independent democratic parliament and with its own constitution, etc. And it's not part of the EU, so it's outside of the EU. Going through an enormous change at the moment. There's a big stuff happening in Andorra. It's really becoming modern. It's a place that was cut off from the world, and mountain people that lived there, and it's changed in the last 40, 50 years. It's gone through, it's gone from literally probably some people never seeing outsiders to it's now, becoming a big commercial hub, and the government are really trying to improve things. So it's an exciting place to be and interesting times. Really easy to communicate. You can get on a plane from Barcelona and be in England with no time at all. It's great lifestyle.
Yes, and why not?
Yeah.
The technology's there, the team's there, you can manage a business of this nature from anywhere in the world, really. So as we're sat here, it's just started snowing outside here
in
the UK.
Yeah.
Why would we want to sit here in the cold when you can be sitting in beautiful Andorra?
Yeah, it's been sunny every day since literally, I think we've had 3 days of cloudy weather and snow since Christmas. So, it's been sunny every day. And it just really helps. Everyone thinks that I spend all day skiing, which is completely untrue.
Not all day.
A friend of mine and I added it up, and we probably ski less than you would if you went skiing on a holiday.
Yeah.
Because you work really hard, really passionate about what we do, and really excited to with the stuff that's happening with the WordPress, and so you end up working a lot, and that's actually one of the dangers, I think, is because you're a bit divorced from things, you can focus much better, and you end up probably working too much.
Yeah. Yeah. And I want to touch upon one thing. So obviously one of the downsides to living in a different part of the world is when you want to come back to the UK to see friends and family, the travel.
Yeah.
So you've said, you know, the flight is not too much trouble, but we're both big fans of Tim Ferriss.
Yeah, yeah.
And some of his travel tips. And I'm fascinated that you've been travel caching.
Yeah, I've been trying to get the travel caching thing set up.
For people who are not familiar, maybe tell them what travel caching is and how you've utilised it for your
trip. Right, yeah. So so the idea with travel caching is that, you know, I hate having loads of luggage. It's just such a noise. And being able to get on the plane and just, you know, with a small rucksack and, you know, the essentials is ideal because it just means you can get on and off much more quickly and you can sit right at the front of the aircraft. Well, before EasyJet did the seating, I used to be able to get a seat usually right at the front because, you know, you get off really quick. But, yeah, I think travel caching is where you basically arrange, you know, if you're going to spend a lot of time in a particular place, you arrange some sort of cache of your essentials. And I think Tim Ferriss goes as far as just caching food, you know, for breakfast because he eats some bean combination or something like that. I'm not going that far. I like my fried breakfast in the hotel.
We're not quite on the four-hour body just yet.
No, neither of us have really achieved that yet, have we? But, there's, you know, it's going to come later in the year,
absolutely.
I think. So yeah, sure. What I've managed to set up is a location where I can hang my suits and shirts and you know underwear and shoes and things, and it means that I've also got an arrangement with the hotel. I'm lucky enough that my stepdad he made me a member of a club that he was a member of before he passed away, and it's one of the best things he's ever done for me because it just means it's so convenient and it's in central London. I can get into London. The room rates are really reasonable, and I've got a locker there that I can stash my stuff in, and so it means I can, you know, I came over the other day with a rucksack, laptop, a few essentials, and I got my wash kit, all my clothes for the week, and then put it back. They wash it, iron it, dry clean it, etc., and then next time I come over, it's all ready to go.
Fantastic!
So,
I love it.
Yeah.
So you live in Andorra, one of the most beautiful parts of the world. You don't even have to go through the real pain of travel that most of us do, picking up luggage and things. I, a lot of people watching this are probably going to be getting angry at you at this point.
Well, yeah, it's not all a bed of roses. And, taken some years to get to this point where it's got it set up and, you know, it has its downsides. I mean, not sure what they are, but... Yeah, I mean, it's for real. You know, it's not so... If somebody says, hey, can you come meet us? And it's a really important meeting. Yeah. You know, that's a day travelling either side. You know, it's you lose some spontaneity. It does make you plan a bit better. But I used to be really nervous about, you know, I was worried that customers might think, oh, you know, the service is going to drop off, etc. But, you know, I think more and more companies are proving that you don't need to have an office these days. And,
absolutely.
You know, the people behind WordPress, Automattic, they've got a massive business and, you know, making massive revenues. And they're completely virtual, from what I understand.
It makes much less of a difference nowadays.
Right.
I think, you know, where you're located in the world and the type of people you're working with. So I'm in awe of what you've achieved.
Oh, thanks.
With the business, with Intuition. I'm blown away by the Zimbra platform. I think it's a real opportunity for IT companies to look into as an alternative to Exchange. So thank you for your time today.
That's a pleasure.
Really appreciate it.
Thanks for your time.
If anybody watching or listening wants to get in touch with you to talk about Zimbra or WordPress hosting or even travel caching and what it's like living in Andorra, how would they reach out to you?
Yeah, so probably the easiest thing to do is to hit up the website in-tuition.net. That's intuition with a hyphen between the in and the tuition. And just go to the contact form or you know give us a ring and I'll see most of the contact requests come through. So easiest way to get in touch. You've got my contact details probably.
Absolutely, I'll make sure this goes into the show notes as well. And you're on Twitter as well?
On Twitter, yeah. So Gado, I think it's GAD0 or GD. GADD0.
We'll put it in the show notes. As well.
Can't even remember my own Twitter handle. Yeah. So yeah, I'm on Twitter and I'm on Facebook. Although I tend to use Facebook more for personal stuff. But it'd be great to engage with any of your readers and chat about anything. I'm always keen to talk about technology, Andorra, skiing, mountains, etc., and food generally are the three things that we tend to talk about quite a lot. So, and we haven't really gone into the food thing. So,
maybe that's for the next instalment of the podcast.
Yeah.
Well, Mark, thanks so much.
Richard, thanks a lot. Really appreciate your time.
Cheers.
I think you'll agree that was a great interview with Mark, very insightful, and I'm sure Mark is somebody that we would like to get back on the podcast and hear about more. So as always, thank you very much for the feedback that you've given on the podcast. I do appreciate the feedback about consistency, getting episodes out. So the feedback has been overwhelmingly positive for the content of the podcast and people saying, please, can we have it more consistently? My goal when I started the podcast was to deliver at least one episode a month. Going to try and see if I can step that up a little bit. I do a lot of travelling for business as well as pleasure. So trying to fit the podcast in with that is sometimes a challenge, but I'll do my very best. And in the weeks upcoming, we've got interviews with Chris Marr from the Content Marketing Academy. Fantastic interview with Chris to come there. And I also had an interview with Chris Day from IT Glue and one of Canada's biggest MSPs, Fully Managed. Fascinating interview with a very, very successful business owner and software as a service business owner. So that's upcoming as well. If there's anybody that you would like me to interview on the podcast, please do get in touch. Richard@tublog.co.uk. And thanks for all of the 5-star reviews that we've received on iTunes to date. Really genuinely appreciate it. It helps this podcast to get found by a new audience. And so if you can take the time to leave a review on iTunes, I'd very much appreciate it. So as always, I hope to see you out there at the events within the IT community. Don't be afraid, do come up and say hello to me if you see me at any of those events. And thank you for listening. I do appreciate it. I'll look forward to seeing you on the next episode of Top Talk.